I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, musical quiz time as we start the 4 o'clock hour. I got into a bit of a soul mood last night. You know the song yet, Jane? Oh, I don't think I got you stumped, right? Fred, you know the song?
Not yet.
No? Sue, do you know the song?
Yet. Drop a bomb on me.
Yes,
oh,
it's
no,
drop a,
it's not,
that,
though. That's
oh,
the thing.
Oh, it sounds like it.
I know it does, but you got the band right. See, that was a little trick for you. This is the Gap Band who did You Drop the Bomb. But this is actually Burn Rubber on Me. And admittedly, the two sound very similar. I will grant you that.
There's a genre.
Yeah. Right, which is kind of why I asked the question the way that I did. But I used the music service Tidal, T-I-D-A-L. And I think all the music services do this, you know, based on your preferences. They'll do mixes and stuff like that. And I like the mixes they create for me. And last night I got into this, like I was listening to James Brown and a lot of Stevie Wonder. And,
I love it.
I'm going to put in some Isley Brothers bumps.
That's a good plan.
And then I heard that song and I loved it so much. I used to play that one at Toads in Columbia.
Of course.
Along
you
with
did.
You Dropped a Bomb on Me. That got people dancing on the
Penny
dance floor.
Champagne at Toads. That's what I used to go for.
And I think I worked on that night, Jane.
There you go.
In a weird way, you know, wouldn't it be like, Sue, if we had the Back to the Future, if Bob Gale was here, we can go back in time. I bet Jane and I was the disc jockey at that bar. I bet we were in the bar at the same
time.
Did you ever hit on me? Do you know?
No.
I wouldn't have done it to you. That's not my type of thing.
I was dating a football quarterback in college.
Is that true?
That is true.
Was that before John Deal or after?
Was
after. Wait a second. Who's football quarterback? Like a high school?
No, at college.
At Mizzou?
No, not at
okay,
Mizzou.
All right.
Not at Mizzou.
Wow.
No, I was chasing Dan Bingenheimer, the JUCO transfer at Mizzou.
I do remember him.
Yeah, he was cute. Baby blue eyes.
Wow.
Yeah,
there's all kinds. You know, Sue, how we peel back the layers with Fred?
Yeah.
I think we could do that with Jane.
Yeah, there's
as
more
well.
Here.
Although James would be R-rated, I'm pretty confident.
No!
I don't know. That's kind of telling me that. All right, so we'll have Sue's News is coming up here in just a moment. After that, Paul will be here. Paul Hall from Common Guy Films. There's a bunch of things that he wants to kind of talk about, including, and I don't know this, Fred, there's a documentary on baseball called The Turnaround. He's actually describing it as a documentary short, and he said it was awesome. So I'm very much looking forward.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about that.
On Prime, there's Brothers with Josh Brolin, Peter Dinklage, and Glenn Close. That's an all-star lineup there. On Hulu, there's a documentary about, there's an act that I've seen in concert. I've followed them for a while, Tegan and Sarah. And there's a documentary, you know what catfishing is? When someone tries to kind of take your eye.
What was his name?
Yeah, that's right. Monte Teo, whatever.
Yeah, Monte Teo,
so
whatever his name is.
This is sort of about this band getting catfished. And then Shrinking is back on Apple TV+. So we got a couple of things to talk about with Paul in just a few minutes. In the next hour, Jonathan Martin's going to be here. We're going to do a couple of different things. Jonathan is one of the best political reporters in the country with Politico, and he really has great insights, and we're going to ask him about Michigan and Wisconsin and the Al Smith dinner, et cetera. And then Dan Buff is going to be here. Jane, it is the 30th anniversary of Pulp Fiction. And Dan and I are going to take a look back at that great film. It's also the 20th anniversary, and Fred has never seen this movie, so I'm going to test both you and Jane. Have you seen Zach Braff's Garden State?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
I have not.
Yeah, it's Natalie Portman, a very young, like Zach Braff
is
in.
He was like a baby.
Oh, yeah. And he wrote and directed that, too. But if you see Zach Braff in all those commercials right now for, what is it, T-Mobile or something, I don't even know. See, I'm getting the wrong ad campaign, probably. He looks very old compared to what Fred was looking at when I was pulling the clips, right? I mean, he was a baby.
I was watching you pull the clips, and A, he does look so young, and B, just the 3 minutes I saw of it.
It's funny.
It's great.
Oh, it's
a great coming of age movie. It's really well written.
What's the storyline?
The storyline is he's kind of a depressed kid who...
Disassociated.
Yeah, and then he meets this young girl at a doctor's office visit who's a little quirky, and they develop... it's a bit of a love story, but a friendship story more than that. Look, it's been a while since I've seen it, but it inspired me just kind of pulling the clips this afternoon, maybe go back and watch that one as well. It's very funny, charming.
Yeah.
It was one of those breakout independent films before there were a lot of breakout independent films.
I saw it back then.
Yes. I think it would still play.
I think it would. I just hadn't thought about it in a while.
The dialogue was really fast-paced and clever.
Like he is.
From what I heard.
Yeah, like he is. Exactly. Yeah. All right, so you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, that's the wrong one. See, I just played the one that...
Okay.
hey, Sue, let me do it again. Okay, here we go.
Take two.
That was from Toads.
Right, exactly. Thank you. Hey, Sue, are you ready?
I'm ready.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You know, thank you. On this day in history, I've got a little music to play because normally we'll play a little bit of soul or some rock and roll. We go all over, but we really haven't gone back for much alternative. And 39 years ago today, in 1985, The Cult released their second album, Love, featuring this classic, She Sells Sanctuary. Oh, I love it.
Great song.
I like that you're digging into a track like this, yeah. Good song.
Great song.
Yep.
And I looked up the lyrics because I remember in 1985, so, you know, you could catch a few words, but that was all. It's really just the same thing over and over again, so don't feel bad. Oh, the heads that turn make my back burn, and those heads that turn make my back burn.
Hey, that's very deep.
It is deep. The sparkle in your eyes keeps me alive, and the sparkle in your eyes keeps me alive. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're just trying to make the point, and they're trying to stress it.
Yes, they are. Yes, and I think they've done it.
I think they've done a good job.
But that was 39 years ago today.
That sounded like one of those bits when they have, who used to do that, Fallon or somebody else?
They would read the lyrics.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I was going to run the Howling Habitat 5K in O'Fallon, Illinois, if you want to. But then I decided I can't. But I thought I'd throw it out there because they have a free pancake breakfast after. It's on Saturday, October 26th. And anybody likes free pancakes. And if you can run that thing and get a free pancake, why not?
Double bonus.
Yeah.
Right? All right. There is a new poll out that asks the following question. When you make a credit card purchase and are offered a space to sign, what do you typically do? Do you use an actual signature? Do you just scrawl a line or scribble? Mark, that's I'm guessing you. Do you have a signature or not?
There's only really one thing that I do, and that's scribble. I mean, you've seen my handwriting,
true.
Right?
Yeah,
so my signature would be just like I just do M, and then I do a couple of, you know, it's different every time. It's really anyone can forge my signature because it's just a mess.
Well, I don't know that I would say that publicly, but okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
As your lawyer, I would say, dumb.
Yeah.
But that's okay. No, actually, because I was a lawyer and I signed a lot of pleadings in my day, I just have, it's all muscle memory. Yeah, I do the same signature.
But do you do your
every
whole name?
Time.
Is it a
yeah.
bit? Okay.
Yeah, because once I start, I don't stop.
But can
you know
I read
mean?
It? Can you? I'm asking seriously.
You can read the Jane and the E and the D, and then it just sort of, you know,
goes from
trails
there.
Off.
But you have
Fred?
Nice handwriting.
Yeah, I think.
I use my regular name just like Fred Bottomer, and I use you can read every letter. It's just
good penmanship.
Simple.
That's not shocking.
Because no, it isn't.
Yes.
I'm afraid it isn't.
Well, that's how we beat the millennials, is we just write everything in cursive because they can't read.
Well, 68% of people say they sign an actual signature. I'm one of those people. 3% leave the space blank. What? 19% draw a line or scribble, the mark people. And 2% say, quote, they just do something else. What is that? What does that even mean?
Okay.
Let me take this poll into a different area. When you have to go, maybe I'll use CVS as an example, because you have to sign something on a screen, you know, to
That's
get your
worse.
Prescription.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody
oh,
really
terrible.
Signs their name on that. You basically just put a scribble, right?
Right. Even when you have to use your finger, it's like,
yeah,
horrible.
It doesn't work very well.
I've gotten better at it. I've gotten better with the finger, because, you know, I do a lot of electronic paying, you know, because I don't, if I can do it with my phone, I'm doing it.
Sure.
But I've gotten better with signing with the finger. That's crazy.
Well, they say, I dislike signing with my finger on a huge level because I'm terrible at it. But they say that people are thinking about, ever since the credit card companies stopped requiring signatures in 2018, because they just don't look at them anymore. People are wondering if the signing for transactions will just be phased out completely.
Probably.
You know, they have other ways of detecting fraud, and they're able to reach out to you immediately on your phone. So signatures really aren't that big a deal anymore. And we'll just see. Maybe it'll go away entirely. That'd be kind of nice.
When we have the chips in our brain and everything's just operated that way, I think they go away.
No, thank you.
Wow, AI.
The final full-size Kmart in the U.S. is scheduled to close on Sunday. I didn't know we had one left.
I thought they were already gone.
I did, too. Wow. It's a location in New York State. Hmm. The very first Kmart opened in 1962, and apparently it reached its heyday in the 80s, but eventually Target and Walmart just destroyed them. They won the war.
So did Rain Man.
Did he go to Kmart? I can't remember that.
You don't remember
he
that?
Said Kmart sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Kmart
sucks.
I mean, that was... Yeah.
That was the downfall right there.
I think that was the beginning of the end.
You're probably right. There was a privately owned rare copy of the U.S. Constitution that sold yesterday at an auction in North Carolina for... Fred, did you see this story?
No, I did not.
Can you guess how much?
$2.5 million.
Jane?
$21
million. Interesting. Mark?
$2.5 million in $1.
Oh, $9 million.
I won. Thank you.
Wow.
Without going
$9
million.
More than two, but 21. Yep. Okay.
You know, that would be,
I'd pay it if I had it.
So we talk about these things a lot, and I think a lot of times we sit back and the audience sits back and says, that's just crazy. But that's one of those things I can almost...
Right?
That's pretty cool.
Yes,
right?
I would pay 21 if I had it.
This thing was printed in 1787.
That's cool.
And it was one of 100 copies printed at the time. Only 8 are known to yet to exist. And they were handed out to those who were going to have to vote on it, or those in the, I can't remember what branch of government, but they were all probably the Senate. But, I mean, they were handed out to people who were going to have to look at them to sign it or approve it. And so only 8 are known to exist. They haven't even released the name of the buyer. I guess it only took 8 minutes to sell. Then, just as a side note, the auction had originally been scheduled for September 28th, but they had to put it off because of Hurricane Helene. Hmm. And the people were really worried that it wouldn't go or get as much as it would have, but I guess it did fine. I can see being a little panicked about that. Okay, wow. Butterball has unveiled a new cook from frozen Thanksgiving turkey that goes straight from the freezer to the oven.
I'm for it.
I like fresh. Just go to Schnucks, get it 2 days before, and then you don't have to worry about it. But this thing, Jane, takes 5 hours to cook, and they claim it tastes
Crowd
just
didn't
as
like
good.
It. Yeah.
Doesn't it
take 5 hours anyway to cook?
My
turkeys do 4 hours.
Well, I guess the idea is it's for people who want to avoid the disaster of forgetting to thaw.
Yes.
Yeah, because that does screw a lot of people up.
It really does.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
It can take 3 days or more in the fridge. And they say it's possibly because of a specially formulated brine. And they claim it does come out just as juicy and tender. The downside is if you like stuffing, it can't be stuffed. You have to make that separately.
Oh, yeah.
So,
supposed to stuff around?
I don't care. I put stuffing in there. I use some of the venison burger usually with the stuffing.
Oh,
it's delicious.
Okay.
It's great.
You know, we're hosting.
You know, you say that.
Bambi.
You would not even know. No.
Thank you, Jim.
You just are doing that because mentally you don't like...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, yes. I don't eat Bambi.
Okay. Your cows are killed, too.
I don't eat
Thumper.
And
by the way, the cows are killed in a much more brutal fashion than my daughter killed that deer last weekend. I promise you that.
I understand, but I don't eat Bambi. It's just an issue. I'm sorry. It's not going
to change. It tastes a little gamey to me, unless you'd really disguise it like chili.
I don't eat lamb either. I don't eat lamb.
Let's pull that audio. I'm going to use that in the future.
We, of course, have... It's that time of year when people in California strap plastic skeletons with scream masks into their passenger seat in California and say, look, I've got a passenger in the lane for multiple passenger vehicles. And, of course, they always get caught, and then they put it on. But somebody posted... Somebody this time... In a different state, decided to run a red light and try to get on the red light video, and it was a person dressed as Cookie Monster.
Okay, that's going to happen here. So,
right?
I mean, so you're previewing what's going to happen once the red light cameras come in the city of St. Louis. We're going to see Cookie Monster. We're going to see the Burger King.
Yes,
we're going to see them all.
I was just amused. You could see the googly eyes. For some reason, the light really caught those. Whew. At least it's better than a skeleton. And in science news, a study found that our sense of smell is faster than originally thought. We can distinguish different odors faster than the blink of an eye.
I thought
can
only
you?
Dogs could do that.
Apparently we can too, Jen.
Wow.
You smell something, you could do it that quickly. I think that's probably true. Pay attention
and
see
if
that's true. Because if you smell something you really don't like, instant.
Yeah. Usually when my daughter's in the car, that happens.
Whoa.
And yes, it's instant.
Wow.
I'm just telling you. Sometimes I think she's a little boy.
Yeah.
Wow. She just, use your imagination
I
there.
I don't need to. Kind of.
And by the way,
I don't need
and
any.
By the way, if she feels like she is a little boy, she can become a little boy. That's the great thing about American 2024,
You mean
right?
Before she's 18?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Do what you want.
I don't know what's happening, so I'm going to the random fact. Random fact, let's see. I'm going to throw this one in. Okay. All right. Despite its name, Philadelphia cream cheese was invented in New York State, not Philadelphia, and it was in 1872. Now, they did not market it as Philadelphia cream cheese until 1880, but at the time, they did that because the Philadelphia area had this reputation for really high-quality dairy farms, so they used the name to allude to that.
Ah,
so Philadelphia cream cheese actually invented in New York State. And that's it.
That's some epic trolling.
That is a good random fact. I love those. And that because it didn't really make sense until you closed the loop there at the end. But thank you. See, we're coming back with Paul Hall on Entertainment, Movies, TV, Cusimano at 4:45.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Those crazy nights, I do remember in my youth.
Friday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show, taking into the weekend. It's homecoming at Mizzou tomorrow, and I don't think I'm heading up. These early games kind of drive me crazy, Jane.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they have to have the parade at like 5:30 in the morning. That's a slight exaggeration. I was in a lot of those homecoming parades back in my media days
in
Columbia.
When you were there, yeah.
Yeah, but you'd have to get up at like... get in the cars at like 7 o'clock, and you know, they're convertibles, so you're freezing your butt off.
Yeah.
I made a lot of sacrifices when I was younger, Jen. I just want you to know that.
You were really deprived.
The things that I went through.
Yes.
Paul Hall is here. I guess I was going to say that we're going to talk about that with Cusimano coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Right now, with Paul Hall on Entertainment from Common Guy Films. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Mark. Just so you know, I'm getting some feedback on the backside here, but
okay.
I am good. I got to hear a little bit of your discussion about some of the things we're going to talk about later in this segment, and they are almost all good stuff. Let's start with Woman of the Hour. Should we go there first, Woman of the Hour?
Let's start there, if I can get the clip. Sorry about the feedback. We'll try to figure that out.
I've been on this show since 1968. The one thing I've learned is no matter what words they use, the question beneath the question remains the same.
What's the question?
Which one of you will hurt me?
This is what I love about this segment. I don't know this one. I haven't seen the trailer for this at all.
No, I haven't seen it either.
So I don't know anything about it.
You ready for this one? Director Anna Kendrick. You know, Pitch Perfect Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
Here she directs her first title. This is the story of Rodney Alcala. Now, if you don't recognize the name, he was a guy who went on the dating game and was a serial killer.
Yes.
And
Yes.
This is right up your alley,
like,
Jane.
Like, really, a prolific weirdo. Oh, my goodness, yeah. And he was on the dating game.
As they say, before the movie is over, they attribute him to up to possibly 130 murders over the course of his life.
Like, he's one of the worst, yes.
Yeah. And he the interesting about this is that he was on a national TV game show. He was actually bachelor number one, even though they say bachelor number three in the course of the movie. You know, they take some creative liberties along the way. Kendrick herself plays one of those bachelorette in this case that gets maybe closer than anyone has to getting to this man without and walking away.
Yeah, living.
It is a it's like a serial killer movie light. And by that I mean, I think they give him a very easy go of it. Some of this stuff feels like it should have been explained in more depth. The connectivity between some of these stories should have been explained in more depth. I think that's something that's missing here. It was not a really good linear versus nonlinear timeline at points. Okay. Kendrick's timeline goes pretty linear. The Alcala's goes off the map and goes somewhere else. It's fascinating, though, to watch, and for truly, she does a good job of doing it at 95 minutes. You will sit down and watch it, and it'll be over before you blink. It's gruesome at times, but this is a fascinating story. For those of you who don't know it, look up some information about this, because it's truly amazing that, you know, we still live in this era from mid-late 70s where this happened, where somebody got on national TV in a game show. Was a serial killer.
You know, so I don't know anything about the story. I'm familiar just, you know, broadly with the guy's name and the case, but that does sound interesting. You said she wrote and directed that, or just directed it?
No, just directed
okay.
it.
Okay. How about brothers?
Some families have a long line of dentists or lawyers. We had a long line of felons. That's me. The big ugly one is my twin brother, Moak. I had the plans. He had the hands.
Freeze! Go, 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 go!
Well, I can tell that's Peter Dinklage on the voiceover there. So what's this one about?
And Josh Brolin is the other one you hear. They're twin brothers, right?
Yeah, I love that. That sounds funny.
Of course they are.
It sounds funny. Please tell me it's not bad.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Not bad. It's okay. Max Barbico, this is one of his, this is his new movie. He gave us Palm Springs with Andy Samberg last year or the year before. It was really one of those underrated comedies that came out. These are two twin brothers that their mom kind of runs away at an early part in her life, trying to get away with her boyfriend. Their mom then, in later in life, comes back as Glenn Close, and you get a different role for Glenn Close here as well. The deal is they're trying to save each other's lives by basically finding the emeralds that they went off on a road. It's kind of a comedy action road movie, I guess you could say, in many ways. It reminds you a lot of movies like Twins. You know, those type of ideas are here. I just don't think it does it as well as it could have. I was hooked in from times, and other times I felt kind of like I was just seeing good actors trying to carry something that wasn't as good as it should have been. Mm-hmm. Brothers is over on Prime Video, though, so this is one you can watch tonight.
It's free.
When you get home.
I mean, yeah, and it's yeah. If you're a member, it's free.
Fred had to zip out early, but he always listens to the show, so he's probably listening to the show. But we're both still huge baseball fans. And Paul, I don't know if you watched last night, but I got caught up in the extra innings, and that was a thrilling finish with the Yankees and the Tribe. I will not call them the Guardians, but this is a film that you're guiding us into here, a documentary called The Turnaround, which is about baseball.
It's Trey Turner night. Trey Turner needs us.
All right, go, Trey Turner.
25-minute short. This is one of the best documentary shorts to come out this year. In fact, it's in the Critics' Choice Documentary Group's award nominations for Best Short Documentary from the Sports Perspective this year. I love this film. This is one of my favorites in the category for the year. This is a story of Trey Turner, and Trey Turner went through, if you remember, this horrific slump. He could not find his way out of a paper bag. He was having problems on the field. He was normally a slick, great fielder, until one Philadelphia sports fan decided, let's do reverse psychology here. I've had my own personal problems in life. He was going through his own personal issues. He said, when Trey comes up on Sunday night, I want the whole crowd to get up and cheer. And it got spread around sports radio in Philadelphia to the point where Trey came up on a Sunday night. The crowd cheered. They did everything Philly sports fans never do. They did. Trey turned it around and finished on one of the most impressive tears to end out the year that they had seen. I'll tell you what. I remember the story when it happened. I happened to watch that Sunday night baseball game that it happened at. And, man, this is inspirational. For anyone
magic.
Who thinks people can't, they can.
That is actually really cool.
And you know what's fascinating about it is I don't believe, look, I've seen documentary shorts. I have participated in the Critics' Choice Awards and watched a lot of documentary shorts, as you know, Paul. But we don't often hear on this show, or most people would never toss out a recommendation for a documentary short. That seems like it's kind of inside baseball, so to speak. No pun intended here. But I love the fact that, you know, you have a story. If the story can be told in 25 minutes, tell it in 25
exactly.
minutes.
Exactly. It'll be better. Right.
Yeah, it's going to come up on your Netflix queue. So this is something you're watching Netflix anyway, right? Just flip it over for a half hour, put it
That's
on.
Awesome.
I guarantee you a good experience. And I've got a couple more before the year's out that are coming out on Netflix that we'll get to talk about that I think are also some of the more inspirational films this year anywhere.
Okay, I want to ask you about a couple of things, and then I have some thoughts on the Menendez brothers, and Jane's watching some stuff, too. But just quickly on this fanatical movie, Tegan and Sarah, let me play the clip. This is a band that I actually follow.
Tegan and Sarah were known as being very accessible.
I messaged Tegan, and we got a response. It was very exciting.
Tegan added me as a friend on Facebook.
I had become friends with Tegan, and it had become a long-term friendship. At some point, she sent me a shared drive and a password. It felt off. So I reached out to her management and got a text that said she has no idea who you are.
So this is like a catfishing thing, right, Paul?
Wow.
Yeah, it's over on Hulu, and it's the whole story of how basically as the band was in their infancy, as they're still gaining fans, they were very social. They were very out there. And all of a sudden, a fake Tegan starts reaching out to their fans and starts leaking things, leaking personal information, leaking passport photos, and all this real interesting pieces of data that they shouldn't have. And as we go forward, the thing I don't like about this is I don't like the way they resolve the film. Whether that's how they resolve real life or not, I don't know. But how they resolve the film kind of leaves you something to be hanging. But it's in this era of social media, we give out way too much information. In this case, it was about people that were famous and ruined some lives along the way.
Yeah, Shrinking, it's called doxing.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. Yep. Shrinking Season 2. Have not checked it out yet. Came out on Wednesday. I like the first season quite a bit. This is Harrison Ford, Jason Segel. Good series. Is it good in the second season? That's sometimes a challenge, Paul.
Absolutely, 100%. It's good. I couldn't put it down. I kept watching through. I've seen a couple episodes you'll see next week. It's very adult, and that's what I like about it. You talk in adult terms. You wouldn't see this on ABC. You will see this on Apple TV Plus, and great actors along the way make it a fun series to stay with.
So, and disclaimer is good. I've only seen
man,
two. I got to watch the next two.
Adult. I mean, that is very adult. Sacha Baron Cohen, Kate Blanchett, Kevin Klein, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who has given us Gravity and Roma. I mean, this is great people involved in a story. It's probably one of the greatest stories as far as something to come down in this Apple TV Plus type of genre. It really hooks you in. Now, I'll warn you, if you've seen the first two episodes, which have dropped already, as you get to number three, it gets really adult. Really adult.
Okay,
really fast.
So gotta be careful.
So be ready for it. Get the kids out of the room before you watch it. But it will grab you, and it will grab hold of you throughout.
I love that there's a little Kevin Klein connection here.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
It's one of my favorite lines. And he's a St. Louis guy, Paul. I don't know if you know that. So I have been watching the Monsters Menendez story, not the documentary, but the Netflix series from Ryan Murphy. Look, I think it's outstanding. It's very difficult to watch. Episode 5 was stunning. It was just one continuous shot for 33 minutes. Then I watch episode 6. A couple of nights ago, and Javier Bardem, Paul, if there are not multiple Emmy wins from this series, I'm going to be a little confused, because Javier Bardem is incredible, and so is Chloe 70. They play the parents here.
Yeah.
But I think this is it's tough to watch, but really, really well executed.
Yeah, definitely. Javier Bardem is one of those guys. And you know what's the cool thing about things like Netflix and Hulu and Apple TV Plus? You're getting those high-profile stars to come and do these kind of short-form TV content where it's 6, 8, 10 episodes of something and produce some really cool TV. The best TV I think we've seen, you know, since The Sopranos started on TV.
You know, and I'm not going to argue that this is because it's not a documentary. So this is a TV show. There's dramatic license that's taken. I've been absorbed by it. But Jane, I know you even said you had to take a break. Because
I had to take a break. It's intense.
It is intense. So it's really difficult. I'm kind of recommending it to the audience, but it's difficult. Don't blame me if you don't like it, is what I'm saying.
Well,
no, it's tough. The subject matter is tough.
And also watch Menudo. because Menudo is a huge explanation as to why the Menendez brothers are even being talked about.
Yeah,
again.
Jose Menendez, the father, signed Menudo, so that was that's part of the connection.
And he abused one of the boys.
Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
Simple, come gotta come.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk next Friday.
Paul.
We'll see Paul.
Take
care. Cusimano's coming up next. Song is called She Likes Sports, Jane, and I thought we'd make this the unofficial theme song of Frank Cusimano, who joins us from Channel 5. Frank, how are you?
Good. I wish my wife liked sports. I have to hide my love of sports, you know?
Oh.
I can't imagine.
See, that's why I'm a dream wife.
Can't imagine that's true. Let me start with this, because this was pretty thrilling last night. This is Tom Hamilton's call of this big home run in the, I still call him the Tribe in the Yankees game.
Swing on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes.
Cool moment last night for the fans in Cleveland, and just when you thought the Yankees were going to kind of run away with that series, at least they made it interesting, Frank, right?
Yeah, if it was on the World Series stage and it was like a Game 6 elimination, it'd be similar to what, you know, the Cardinals did in their Game 6 in 2011. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was unbelievable, because at the time, Luke Weaver had looked invincible, too, and to come back with those home runs late, that was awesome.
All right, we got homecoming in Columbia tomorrow against Auburn. Thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think their record is a little deceiving. They're 2-4, and if you look closely at these games, and I've looked closely at them the last couple of hours, actually, that Oklahoma game, it was just a turnover.
Right.
They lost another game, Arkansas, where it's kind of a deflection, where if the ball is deflected another way, maybe it's not a turnover. They're pretty good, okay?
Yeah, they weren't out of it. I agree with you.
Not at all. So this is going to be a little tougher than people think. But I do think Mizzou's going to win the game, and I do think that Luther and Brady are going to, you know, have one of these breakout games soon.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we keep saying that, and last week certainly was good on the road in Massachusetts, but they just have not clicked. And, you know, you got a big game, as Jane knows, because she's going just around the corner, Tuscaloosa. I was going to go. I had to cancel a trip going to see the grandbaby in Houston. But that's a big game next week. And Alabama, you know, usually they look invincible. Not so much these days.
It'll make it exciting.
No, Alabama has looked very beatable the last two or three weeks. So, look, if Missouri wins tomorrow, you're 6-1. It is amazing that how we've raised the bar, that there's still a lot of unhappy Mizzou fans out there. So win a game tomorrow, 6-1, headed to Tuscaloosa, then it'll really get fun.
Yes. How have you rated the Blues this week as they started the regular season?
Well, last night was unbelievable. I mean, Joel Hofer was sensational in goal with 34 saves, and the assist on the game-winning goal, and it's the first time in history that a goaltender got a shutout, got an assist in a game with only one goal. So that's NHL history. And I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about the strengths of the Blues, it's that goaltending tandem. Because Jordan Binnington is still one of the best in the league, and Joel Hofer looks like he could be one day. You guys, you throw those guys back-to-back, that's really, really good. That's the biggest strength of this team right now.
What's coming up on Sunday night?
On Sunday night, we have a variety of things. It's really cool. We are going to do a ride-along with Robbie Avila, the Billiken star, where we get in his big Bomarito Cadillac, and we do the interview while we're driving along. The next interview is going to be with Kelly Chase, who's opened up a women's spa, and we're going to be doing the interview while he and I are getting a pedicure. And then we'll also talk with Brady Cook. So a lot of variety in our interviews.
Wow.
Wait, did I just hear you say you're going to get a pedicure? On camera?
My first one ever.
Okay.
You know
I've only had one. I've only done it once. It's kind of weird.
I am so proud of him. Way to go, Frank.
But it's one thing to do it, and it's another thing to admit it on television and radio and get it on film. So
that's a real man admits their pedicure.
Now,
I
love that you're doing the James Corden thing with Robbie Avila, but talk about that kid a little bit, because he's one that transferred from Indiana State with Coach Scherzer, essentially, right?
Yes, he is. And let me tell you something. He could end up being one of the biggest sports figures in St. Louis this year. He is 6'10". He wears goggles. He's doughy. He doesn't look anything like a basketball star should. But yet, at the end of the game, you'll see 18 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. Sees the game in slow motion. He knocks down threes. He's the only center in college basketball, I think, where they actually run the offense through. He is fun to watch. He's a great kid.
I love him. I got into, you know, his postseason tournament last year and watched him and had no idea who he was, but he was really something. And I think you're right. He could become a big star in this market. Frank, have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday afternoon.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, take care. That's Frank Cusimano. Jane, we're going to wrap it up here for a Friday. Both of us will be off next Friday. We'll do one more roundtable together before the election 2 weeks from today. Can you believe we've been talking about this thing for like 13 years, haven't we?
Seriously, it feels like 13 years. I'm kind of ready.
Have a great weekend.
You too,
we're coming back with Jonathan Martin. We'll talk a little presidential politics after the top of the hour. She's in it to win it. Got eyes on the prize. Be seen to the finish. She's got a game.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.